Reconstructionist Radio presents a War Room production, The Post Mill Report with Nathan F. Conkey.
This is episode 9 of The Post Mill Report with Nathan Conkey. Now, we've covered quite a bit of ground already. Africa, Europe, church planting movements and other themes. If you haven't checked through the archives, I would advise you to do so. There is a lot there that could do your spirit good. Now, I must say, it's funny being a podcast host. It's rather like standing on a cliff top, blindfolded, shouting at the top of your lungs into an oncoming storm, or being a musician without any monitoring, where the stage lights are so bright that you just can't see your audience, or hear your music, at least as others hear it. But I have a pretty good idea of what kind of audience I have, I think. By the way, thanks for the feedback some folks have already given me. Drop me a line, please. I would probably love to hear your suggestions. So, all this rambling and for why? The point is on its way. I think I have a pretty good idea of the audience. Predominantly young, 30s and 20s, people of my age and above. I'm guessing mostly male. Christian, of course. Reformed, theonomic people who take their faith very seriously. Pretty savvy too. Savvy about how the world works. Savvy about politics. Savvy about the agencies of civil government. Wise about the guilt-manipulating pastors and ecclesiocrats. You may have been fooled once, but you're pretty wise to all the schemes. You've heard it all before. You won't be fooled again. Most of all, I guess you're wise about the media. It is so easy to see through the insubstantial news anchors, mindlessly peddling the latest party line handed to them by their editors. You refuse to let your view of the world be coloured by the Barbies and Kens of CNN, Fox News, or the BBC. Not to mention government miseducation. You are way over that. All of this is pretty awesome. And yet, as I was preparing for this edition of the Post Mill Report, it hit me like a cold, wet trout to the face that, for all my canny rejection of the party line, my view of the world is skewed to comic proportions. The old illustration of sanctification holds true to the question of viewing the world aright. How does one get the dirty liquid out of the glass without tipping the glass over? How? You keep on pouring in clean water. Being turned on to the wiles of dirty water is not enough. Not taking in any more dirty water ain't enough either. We need to realise that our idea of what the world is like, our worldview, by default, is heavily coloured. More coloured than we think, and we need to constantly be seeking to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, pouring in the clean water to displace this murk. So, what is the murk, the sin in this picture? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that the Church of God is a delicate flower whose petals are turning and will soon fall off. This is clearly far from being the truth. As we have said before in many ways, the church is growing exponentially in absolute numbers and as a percentage of the population around the world. Africa alone will, in a few decades, be home to more Christians than the entire world had in 1900. By 2050, the number of Pentecostals alone is set to outnumber all the world's Buddhists. This is a simple, basic point, easily verifiable by a simple recourse to the statistics. But I fear there is much murk, even in our own hearts, that fails to take this to heart. Like the disciples, we are praying for the release of Peter, whilst getting irritated by the intense banging on the door, as it were. Shut up, Peter! We're praying for your release! We are called upon to believe by faith the promise of Christ that he will build his church. Isn't it natural to then go looking for this divine building project with our own eyes in the world? Another murky substance that clouds our view of the world, another lie, is that the church is rather an unimportant thing, a powerless fancy, a mere curiosity. I believe that this lie lurks deep in my heart, all too untested and untried by the probing of meditation on God's word. It is a lie that our Philistine masters tell us in a thousand different ways, in all the outlets of propaganda, entertainment and education. This lie is echoed by all too many of our clergy and our Levites, those who say, Don't you know that the Philistines are lords over us? They echo this murky lie of the powerlessness of the Church of Christ with their fine-sounding theologies of escape, their otherworldly dualism, their mystical pietism. But we know in our hearts that this cannot be true, since the Lord of the Church has been given all power in heaven and on earth, and in him we are a holy nation, princes clothed in royal robes. Christ's power in us is undiluted by the spirit of the age. We are made princes to rule in his name. And it is only with the eyes of faith that we can begin to see that the whole world, from Jakarta to Japan, from Lima to London, has already been profoundly shaped by hundreds, if not thousands of years of the influence of God's word through the work of his church. Even false religions are forced to reform themselves in terms of Christian standards. And even false varieties of Christianity must also march in step with the faithful Church of God. Today, and into the future, Christian authors long dead and living, bishops, Pentecostal leaders, Christian mothers, Christian businessmen, and more, are, by the Spirit of God flowing through them, changing the world. Because only the children of God are empowered and enlightened from outside this world, with the only absolute truth there is, the only truth that works in God's world, the Word of God. Another ingredient in the gloop that so often obscures a faithful vision of the world is the notion that, as goes the lands formerly known as Christendom, so goes the rest of the world. If Europe and America fall, the world is doomed. This wrong-headed idea is not simply incorrect because it is racist, but rather because it is anti-covenantal and runs counter to the sovereign electing grace of God. Through the Old Testament, God raised up and cast down nations as he saw fit. He even threw his own chosen nation on the fire for burning, and, crucially, opened up the covenant status of holy nation to all the families of nations. In the past, the centre of Christendom has variously been in North Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. God still raises up and casts down. Just because he previously used Tunisia in such a mighty way does not inexorably tie the destiny of God's kingdom to the varying fortunes of the former Roman province of Africa. Neither Armenia, nor Ethiopia, nor Iraq, nor the US, or the UK. We should be watching, therefore, waiting and working for new centres of Christendom to emerge, new Christian nations, new centres of missionary sending, and get on board with those works as we are able. Tied to this false idea is the mammon-worshipping idea that present wealth dictates future success or influence or kingdom-building effectiveness. Asia itself used to be fantastically rich compared to barbarian Europe. South America was far more wealthy than the uncouth north of the continent. But resources and influence and power are distributed covenantally. Power, wealth and influence inexorably flows to people, peoples and nations who are covenantally faithful. These lies and others are colouring our vision, making the great scriptural promises that much more distant and unreal. We need to let the current growth of the Christian church worldwide stir our faith and reinforce our acceptance of his word of promise. We need to look at the great victories won around the world and those being won right now, and let these feed our faith and stir us to present action. Again, if we believe that the font of power of the Christian world is in the US or Europe rather than in heaven, that Christendom proceeds from the Old South or Escondido, we are in for a world of disappointment and also malinvestment of our time and resources. If, however, we see that power flows from on high, from the right hand of the throne of God, we can roll with the punches. It is worth remembering that the great Protestant peoples of Europe and the UK got out of Dodge, left their homelands of France, Scotland or England or Switzerland or even Armenia, and moved elsewhere according to the opportunities given them and the providence of God. Now, I am not advocating a mass movement of Christians, but we should at least open our eyes and turn our necks around to see what God is doing in the world. One day our children's children may well be upping sticks to the New Jerusalem of Zambia, Kenya, or Nigeria, or perhaps even China. Over the next few weeks, I will, God willing, be unpacking the lessons I am learning from Philip Jenkins' astounding book, The Next Christendom. I thought I was clued in about world Christianity, but wow, you are in for some surprises over the next few weeks. I want to be a true witness to counter the influence of the false witness of media, education, and the decadent pulpits. I want to give you as clear a vision as I can of what God is doing in the world to extend his kingdom, and draw lessons from these observations that will motivate you to prayer and action. Thanks for listening. That was the Postmill Report with your host, Nathan F. Conkey. I'm a full-time education faith missionary to Mexico. I teach full-time in the Pierre Viray Learning Center, which has around 80 students in Puebla, Mexico. I'm helping students learn English so that they can access Christian curricula, particularly those older students with zero or very poor English who would otherwise not have access to Christian learning. I'm currently working on a 9-week curriculum for the next school year. I am part of a wider team that are building the intellectual foundations for Christendom in Mexico. Contact me at lrnteach.com or facebook.com/christian.education. To support our work and the work of the Postmill Report, you can make a tax-deductible donation at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey, NathanConkey. Thanks for listening. God bless now.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete weekly lineup of 7 distinct shows. You can subscribe now to your favorite shows on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed on iTunes, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner financially with this ministry. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.